You are listening to Radio Albion.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new edition of the Orthodox Nationalist. I am Matthew Raphael Johnson, and it's 1 a.m. On the 8th of March. It's Sunday. It is the beginning of Orthodox Lent, and as is customary, it's customary, but it's also sincere. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances and listeners and supporters. If I've offended you in some way, it was inadvertent, and I apologize. I could be a very difficult person, and I've been ill since October, so my Lent has been going on for a long time, and I've lost a lot of weight, and I look great. I have to tell you, I'm like 165 pounds, 6 foot tall. My God, my wife is quite pleased, and I'm strong as an ox now. I'm almost 100%. There was a time where I was winded going up the stairs. And there's something wrong. And when that got worse, and my wife said, "You're going to the hospital." Of course, I resisted, but I couldn't function anymore. I had to go back a few times. I had colitis, then high blood pressure, then a million other things. No one's sure what the real cause is. All I know is that everything's under control now. And I know part of it is because of the prayers of my friends. While I was in the hospital this last time, my boy, Marcel, my guard cat, took a big turn for the worse, but I have never come across a cancer patient, human or otherwise, that becomes happier and has a better appetite and is more social. So he's like a kitten again. His mouth is full of malignant tumors. And he's like his old self. He doesn't isolate himself. He plays around. He could jump on tabletops. What kind of cancer does this? He's eating me out of house and home. And he is obsessed with ice cream. He has a permanent ice cream mustache wherever he goes. He can't clean himself anymore, so we have to do it for him. Which he's gotten used to, and you know, it's whatever it takes. He's a family member. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But cats in the monastic life from Japan to Arizona are treated the same way. They are, I want to say they're a sacred animal, but they're treated as such. They have full run of the altar wherever they want to go. There's no monastic establishment that hasn't had a bunch of cats. It's not just for mouse control. That's a piece of it. You know, dogs aren't allowed. They're just working dogs. They could be guard dogs or whatever, but cats get to do whatever they want. I've never gone to a monastery where cats haven't necessarily run the place. They're always very quiet during the services. I know that from experience. Hiroshima monk Brendan had the same experience. It's very strange. We know that cats can see a greater part of the light spectrum than we can, and even hear a greater part of that spectrum. Now, what that means, I don't know. It's inconceivable what they might be able to see that we can't. Either way, no matter where you go, unrelated traditions have seen felines the exact same way. And I understand. Every once in a while, a family gets a pet that's very special. It can read you. It knows what your mood is, and there's a lot of interaction. There's been more interaction between Marcel and myself than ever. And to think that 10 and a half years ago, he was found in a dumpster by accident, emaciated and parched. It was Labor Day 2015. He surely shouldn't be here. And the personality, they brought him into the store. He was in Shippensburg, and he took over, pushed the big dogs out of the way, ate their food, drank their water. When I first met him, he was riding this Great Pyrenees by the, I don't even think he knew. And they said, look, we're moving the business. We can't keep him. And he said, here. I already had a few cats already. And Marcel looked at me and said, okay, we're going. He came home, took over. He's been that way ever since, but he's mellowed tremendously as he's gotten older. And now cancer has brought back his personality. I don't understand it. Thyroidal? Is it hitting some gland? I don't know what's going on. But he's going to go out in the best possible way. Happy, with his tail in the air, and ice cream mustache. That seems to be the way. Anyway, I'm feeling good. I'm very excited about that. I'm back to normal, more or less. Got to build some muscle. And in Lent, you know, I kind of already done mine. But I'm on a very strict diet, and it's not really Lenten. Very low carb. So I can do certain things, but fasting isn't necessarily about food, as we all know. I mean, you can't use that as an excuse to eat whatever you want. But fasting is about self-isolation, self-reflection. And self-reflection usually is a cause of suffering. So that's day-to-day for a lot of us, but not for all of us. But this isn't about Lent. You know, we talk about that often, but today isn't about that. Today's about something that I've been talking about, thinking about in the hospital. You know, whenever something, I'm go away for something, every time something major happens, going back to 1990, this time it was the second attack on Iran, worse than the first. And the title of my paper is The End of the Trump Era, The Necrotic Empire Crumbles in Iran. And that's putting it mildly. It used to be that Afghanistan was a graveyard of empire, but for a long time that was accurate, even for the Americans. Today, that distinction has fallen to the Islamic Republic. You know, Shia Islam did not take Constantinople. They're not the ones who oppressed Christians in the Balkans. They're not the ones who attacked Christians. They're not, you know, the crazy Wahhabis. They're a very different group of people. And if you remember, during the war in Chechnya, both the first and the second, they backed the Russians. And we'll see now that Iran is a standard bearer of revolution, along with counter revolution, along with Russia. We'll see what happens to these non-citizens, a group of people that are always ignored, pretty much 80% of the population, and most of these sheikdoms, who are serfs, so that the sheiks can do whatever they want, including simply they simply don't work. The work is done by serfs who are not citizens, and many of them are Shiite. So we'll see what happens in these societies. I would love to see the UAE go up. And now they're paying the price for hosting American bases. But these last adventures of the Americans, they've led to high casualties, but they were successfully hidden. The present war, we're seeing dead American boys, and they're always boys, pile up rapidly. Maybe too fast for the regime to cover up. There's nothing to cheer about here. These boys did not deserve to die, but the regime will pay a nasty price for it. At the present time, I have close relatives in the Marine Corps who, as of now, can't be accounted for. That is now, of course, is personal. Donald Trump has destroyed his presidency. He's destroyed everything. While I vaguely supported him, I don't vote, of course, but I supported him in the beginning. Today, he's contemptible. A failed president of a failed empire. And anything good that he's done has been negated. So it was the last day of February. The U.S. launched one of the most ill-advised attacks since the Austrians attacked Serbia in 1914. It sparked the largest conflict in the Middle East for some time. You know, the war against Iraq was lasted from 1990 to roughly 2003. It was all one war. It was in pieces, but it was all one war. The attacks deliberately killed the Ayatollah, most of his family. His wife died of her injuries a few days later, March 2nd. But the world has noticed, and I've said this so many times now, but the world has noticed that the U.S. is using terror as a normal part of its military strategy. The American Air Force, as fragile though it is, has continued launching airstrikes. They're using precision weapons. Now they've deliberately targeted civilian centers, schools, hospitals, maternity wards, residential areas. Clearly, you know, taking a page from the IDF. One primary school in South Iran, I think almost 200 girls aged 7 to 12 were killed. The hospital in Tehran, named after Gandhi, was damaged, forcing the staff to evacuate. That's a high-level trauma center there, and these are using precision weapons. Therefore, they're all done on purpose. They're cowards. My friend Drago Bosnich, he writes for BRICS. Here's what he says about it. This is only a fraction of the atrocities committed by the warmongers, the criminals, the Pentagon. The full extent of the crimes against Iran is far worse, and we all know that's true. Tehran retaliated with hundreds of ballistic missiles against American bases across the Middle East. The propaganda machine is trying to frame this as an all-out unprovoked attack on a dozen countries. But it's pretty clear that the Iranian military is targeting American military assets and doing that very well. What's more, in many of these countries, the local population even cheers on as Iranian ballistic missiles and drones rain down on American occupation forces. The Pentagon keeps trying to hide the actual number of casualties, claiming it's less than a half a dozen, although the real figure is becoming intolerable. It's already in the hundreds. I think we know that already. And I, as you know, I've spoken about how the U.S. fakes casualty figures, and they're pretty good. So I'm thinking right now we're talking about maybe 500. I'm talking just KIA and the destruction of American bases throughout the Sunni world. Well, Drago, of course, you know that most of the world cheers Iran's war effort, especially since they're winning. The Shiites in these sheikdoms couldn't be happier. The Pentagon is humiliated. There usually are, but this is a very different kind of humiliation. The Air Force, and this is, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I shouldn't say that, but I still can't believe it. The Air Force lost 3 F-15E fighters in a few minutes, shot down over Kuwait. And that's hard to, you know, I remember in 1990, my freshman year in college, that's when the first Gulf War broke out. That and the fall of the Soviet Union, I mean, I was in the thick of it. That's why I switched from music studies to this. Anyway, all three Air Force were shot, Air Force planes were shot down over Kuwait. Military trying to cover it up, saying whatever they had to say. They didn't care what they said, so long as they didn't say this was Iranian ability, Iranian accuracy, Iranian military. They would say anything. They would say we're just incompetent, we don't know what we're doing, rather than admit that Iranians are outshooting them. There's a few stories that they've invented, that the their friendly fire, you know, from the Patriot battery somewhere. I don't think people are, you know, I've spent so much time in my Ukraine book, which I really hope you buy, going over how these systems function. I've made many contacts asking about it. And the number of fail-safes here, a friendly fire with a Patriot is very hard to do. You know, the programming, the satellite programming, there's a million fail-safes here. But it's funny, Bosnich says that, you know, if that's true, which of course we all know it isn't, it's probably the only success of the Patriot. These are wildly overpriced, poorly functioning weapon systems. They failed miserably against both Iranian and Russian ballistic missiles. Poor Drago, I don't think English is his first language, and he doesn't know what copium is, doesn't know how to use it. And it's a neologism, of course. It's sort of like, it's supposed to be funny, like a drug. You're taking copium to deal with something you have trouble dealing with. But it's true in this case. You know, it's a great humorous metaphor. But the regime is desperately trying to cope with the incompetence of the American military, especially the Air Force. Or have you heard this before? Presented as invincible. I mean, after Afghanistan, how could anything be, you know, seen that way? I mean, 3 F-15E multi-role strike fighters going down in just a matter of minutes. I don't know how you deal with that. Now, the Wall Street Journal, which is not a reliable source, claims that there was a catastrophic friendly fire incident. that the Kuwaitis shot down the F-15, throwing these guys under the bus. Of course, they had an anonymous source. And they quoted him basically saying that a Kuwaiti F-18 pilot launched 3 missiles at an American aircraft. And it was supposed to have been triggered by an environment of extreme tension and a breakdown in battlefield identification. Again, I don't think they know how this stuff operates. This isn't like World War I, you know, with Snoopy and, shooting and throwing bricks at people. You know, 50 calibers breaking down. That's not how it is. There is nothing dumb. Everything is smart and precision. Now, the report put out by the U.S., which is one lie after another, it does say that there was an Iranian drone that had penetrated Kuwaiti air defenses and struck a tactical operations center at a commercial port, killing 6 U.S. troops. Well, you know, I've been saying this for so long now, no one gets it, that the Patriots and their sister weapon systems are useless. They're not designed for the more advanced Russian missiles, which are used by Iran, Pakistan, China, North Korea. I mean, even the Kiev regime had to admit that they can intercept the Kremlin's weapons. Kiev has never shown any credible evidence that it has shot down anything, Iskander, Zircon, KH-22, whatever. Now, I've seen videos of the Patriots' failure to intercept even normal missiles. So these F-15s were shot down by a SAM system, Russian-made, maybe even with a Russian crew. But they really don't need Russian crews because, you know, again, this is a first-world military. But Russia is a premier military in the world, battle-hardened, using everything in combat. You know, there's no one like them right now. But their systems have been purchased from Moscow. They make some of their own. Of course, they have a whole huge state-owned military-industrial complex. And they're using the S-300 and even more advanced S-400. American military hardware has had a reputation destroyed. It's getting worse. At least 3 F-15s in minutes going down. That's not incompetence. That's sabotage. The U.S. spent decades building that the image of the F-15 as invincible. Billions of dollars in production. They're claiming, and Bosnia has said this many times, they're claiming a 104-0 record. Never been lost in aerial combat of any kind. Well, on Drago's page, he has a video from 2018. A Saudi F-15 SA was hit by a Houthi modified SAM. Several more aircraft were hit, with at least one other F-15 SA destroyed. You know, they say that multiple aircraft were scrapped, but they refuse to say which one. And you still hear the F-15 is invincible from journalists, from the brass, from congressmen. But the F-15's performance has been disastrous. There was actual an air battle in 1991. I vaguely remember it. The Samora, Battle of Samora in the air. 2 Iraqi Air Force, Russian-made MiG-25s, I think, shot down 2 F-15Cs without loss. And of course, the Americans never admitted losses. These losses are any other ones. See, back then, we didn't have the web. Now we know that the American casualties were catastrophic, as were the British. The British lost at least half its air force. They never recovered. I think years earlier, the Syrian MiG-21 shot down an Israeli F-15. Again, doing everything they can to conceal the loss. But both Syrian and Russian sources have records of it. This, you know, having no loss, 104-0. Typical Johnson's law. It works only for the ignorant. What Bosnitz calls the pedophile, cannibalistic, satanic elite system in Washington is crumbling. And what could be more humiliating Then after, you know, a couple of days of counterattacks, Washington sues for peace through the Italian embassy. Now, governments tend to not tell the truth during warfare, but Iran is now defining itself as the opposite of America. When you're winning, it's easier to tell the truth. America's diplomacy essentially comes down to a series of scams designed to make the opponent relax and unprepared for what's coming. And everyone knows this by now. I don't know what the U.S. thought Iran was, but they were ready for decapitation. They were ready for high-ranking officers being killed. And because they have a huge, very patriotic military system, people fighting for their homes, they have their officer corps in depth waiting to take. There's nothing the U.S. can do anymore. That's how they can quickly recover. It's not a matter of individuals in this case. It's a professional bureaucracy. And I mean that in a good way. I find it interesting that, you know, the bases throughout the Sunni world, especially the sheikdoms of Qatar and Saudi Arabia and UAE, those bases have been vulnerable for a long time. People have been talking about it. I've been talking about it. Nothing was ever done. They knew that in event of war, the Iranians would hit those bases immediately. Nothing was ever done. They just were sitting ducks for years. That's something that, I'll get to the bottom of one day. But just as importantly, as the U.S. continue to supply the failed state in Kiev, now they get the comeuppance. Russia and China are supplying, the Iranians have been supplying Iran with their real-time ISR, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, many weapon systems, air and missile systems we've been talking about, fighters, attack helicopters, all kinds of stuff, military advisors who are there presently, many critical resources, all kinds of commodities. Lawson's talks about sodium petrolet. It's a key component for rocket propellant, solid version. That means that they could produce hundreds of medium range, which is what they're relying on right now. Roughly 2,000 tons of sodium petrolate is enough, maybe for 500, 700 missiles. These have all been supplied by the Russians. People don't even know what this stuff is, but it's very important. The Pentagon claims to have eliminated many missile launchers, but the Iranians really have mastered the ruse. Most of these have been decoys left to waste the American. These missiles cost millions of dollars each. The air to grounds, their images painted on mountains, blow up tanks. It's really hard to tell from the air. And it's hilarious. One of these missiles is multi-million dollars. They're not really worth that. Russians make a superior version, much less expensively. So I'm sitting here, 1:30 in the morning, in the middle of nowhere, giving my supporters what no one else can. I don't know what's so special about me. I don't have an agenda except, supporting the truth of the matter. It's not in my interest to support this kind of thing, but it's true. Therefore, I do it, and I pay the price for it. And I'm good at it. Just like the Iranians are good at wasting American missiles. Can you imagine, with all this, Trump has threatened a land invasion. Now, he took that back. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. And I've said 100 times, Donald Trump has a very naive view of the capacities of the American military, and that comes out almost in everything he says. Now, I wrote in 2021, I remember Netanyahu saying that Israel will defend itself from Iranian aggression and terrorism. That, in psychological terms, we all know what the word is, projection. And here's what Netanyahu said 5 years ago. I shall never allow Iran to develop the nuclear capability to carry out its genocidal goal of eliminating Israel. And Israel will continue to defend itself against Iran's aggression and terrorism. Iran has never given up its quest for nuclear weapons and missiles to deliver them. And the Iranians consistently and outrageously call for Israel's annihilation and works towards that goal. Well, Iran has never said anything like that, although they're probably saying it now, as they should. But Israel certainly has. That statement was issued after Israel admitted that it tried to destroy a nuclear plant. And God knows what would have happened after that. Of course, that has to be projection. They just committed acts of terrorism against a civilian reactor. Then he turns around, he blames Iran for exactly what he did. That's psychological, that is not political. And this is a topic for psychology, not necessarily political science. I don't think a single soul in Washington knows that Islam rejects officially the use of nuclear weapons. And it's because in the Quran you have a prohibition against poisoning the wells of one's enemies. It's a literal matter, also a figurative matter. Anything that has the possibility of killing lots of innocents. Because it's, first of all, it's evil, and secondly, it's really bad optics. They want hearts and minds here. Now, as a result of all this, there have been several fatwas that have been issued. Not just in Iran either, but elsewhere. Pakistan has their own nuclear arsenal. And I suppose they're not being judged by anybody, but at least in the Iranian case, and a few other Islamic governments simply cannot develop these weapons on religious grounds. This is why Gaddafi rejected nuclear weapons for Libya, which was a mistake. But we understand this. Here's the Iranian fatwa, one of them. It says this, and I printed this a long time ago. We believe that besides nuclear weapons, other types of weapons of mass destruction, such as chemical biological agents, also pose a threat to humanity. The Iranian nation, which itself has been a victim of chemical weapons, feels more than any other nation the danger that is caused by the production and stockpiling of these weapons, and is prepared to make use of all of its facilities to counter such threats. We consider the use of such weapons as haram, and believe that it's everyone's duty to make efforts to secure humanity against this great disaster. Now, I've been a student of comparative politics for 35 years. But that knowledge is only a problem in several occasions, especially when I see the instant experts. It's the same people now that were talking about Donetsk, now talking about someplace in Iran, totally unknown to Americans. Now, I'm going to say something. I've said it before. I want you to listen. If you have to write it down, write it down. The media has no professional obligation to tell the truth or educate the public. It is not their job. They're not experts in any of these fields like nuclear power, comparative government, Islamic politics, military science, or anything else. That's not what they do. A journalist is tasked to find a story that will draw readers in. Scholars, on the other hand, that's what we're charged with. We risk everything for the truth. Today, though, that's only outside of academia. Now, I hate the fact that I give any time to this stupid nuclear issue justifying these attacks, but it has to be mentioned. As in the past, in Syria and Ukraine, the American elite, almost subconsciously, they know that they're losing. The reaction, of course, is always terror. What is terrorism? It's the deliberate use of severe coercion, usually physical violence, against civilians for a specific political end that they can't get in any other way. As of now, and I'm not sure the exact numbers, at least 10 prominent Iranian nuclear scientists have been murdered. Most of them at their homes, meaning that their families were killed as well. And many of them were actually pretty famous in that community. Worldwide. Mohammad Taranchi and Fyodor Nabasi were very well known even outside of Iran. Media outlets somehow knew who they were and said they were central to Iran's nuclear program. None of these men have any interest in weapons, nor are they trained in that regard. Taranchis and theoretical physicist. He was president of Azad University in Iran. He was all over the place. Photonics, so many other things, nuclear science. He was sanctioned for some reason in 2020. Abbasi has a PhD in nuclear physics. Again, some of these guys are opposed to nuclear weapons. Actually, they all are. Were. They tried to kill him in 2010, but they killed Sharari, another physicist was killed. So many others. Aman Zafagari, Amir Fekwi, Ali Karimi, Mansour Asghari, Saeed Borji, so many. I don't know the proper pronunciation, I don't live there. But many of you know who I'm talking about. These are all English speakers. They were civilized men. And this is what I wrote last year. None of these men were trained in nuclear weaponry, only peaceful enrichment. Israel knows this, making the men terror attacks on harmless civilians. One is Dr. Ahmad Zafagari. His contributions were in resource management. He was editor of the Nuclear Energy Quarterly Journal. His issues were heavy concrete, lead, gamma radiation, a few other things. Their concern was Iranian self-sufficiency in energy. They were nationalists. They had no connection to or desire for nuclear weapons. And that's from an article from last year called Vicious Animals, The Dying Zionist Regime Starts a War, Cannot Win, While Demanding a Conditional Surrender. I also said during last year's attack, the Iranian armed forces have shot down 3 Israeli F-35s. June 14th, the Iranian army announced that air defenses had taken down a 3rd one. You've heard this already. And what was used to bring them down then was the Iranian-made Bavar 373. This is long range now. Surface-to-air, of course. Long distance. And it makes a mockery out of the stealth fighter who specializes in taking down stealth fighters, the F-22, F-35. The F-35 was the most advanced aircraft in the Israeli Air Force. Their variant is the F-35I. Is even more specialized towards radar evasion for, you know, deep penetration things. Despite its stealth capabilities, newer air defense systems developed by several countries, Russia and Iran specifically, can detect and shoot down these aircraft. By downing 3 stealth fighters, Iranian air defenses have shattered long-standing myths of Israeli air superiority cultivated over 2 decades. That's from the same article. You see how I'm kind of getting bored here because it's the same things. I'm saying the same things over and over again. But the same things occurring with the same denials. We're talking about the excuses. This one was, another one, was that the Kuwaiti military forces there, quote, were on high alert and on edge. That means when the radar system, that's the exact quote, on high alert and on edge. So when the radar systems detected 3 American F-15s, quote, the operators, fearing a follow-up Iranian attack, engaged the targets. The regime's journalists still fail to explain how this can happen. They don't understand how almost impossible it is for this to happen using these kind of weapons. Failsafe after failsafe after failsafe. But I love how they throw the Kuwaitis under the bus. Now, so far it's been confirmed, big air quotes there, that the Kuwaiti FA-18 is the focus. You know, these people are 1 Xanax away from blaming a bird strike or demons. Who knows what's next? I have my own contacts among Air Force retirees. But one who I don't know is Mark Gunzinger. He's retired. He's a colonel. He flew the B-5s. Here's something, one of the stupider things that have been said, and that's saying something. Talking about this stupid excuse, he says, well, it's a busy, busy air environment. And in times of stress, tension, crisis, and certainly in this case, conflict, even more so. It's all the more complicated when you have different air systems, air defense systems operating on different frequencies that aren't integrated. Some of those systems are actively trying to counter threats such as drones. That's the excuse. Understand the implications of this. That the combat capabilities of they get confused. We're incompetent on the battlefield. These systems have been designed for these busy environments. They're supposed to be combat entities. The point is, though, to blame anything but the Iranian military. It just doesn't. They'll say anything at this point, including themselves and these poor Kuwaitis, trained by the Americans, by the way. Wall Street Journal, befuddled as they always are, they say that, quote, the official cause of the crash remains subject to change as investigators piece together the sequence of events. This really means that, the Pentagon hasn't come up with a plausible excuse yet. Plausible excuse. Anything to avoid admitting that the Russian-made Iranian SAM systems destroyed three invincible F-15s in a few minutes. This has happened in the first war and in the second. Unnamed military officials. It's a tragedy. A stark illustration of the challenges inherent in modern multinational air wars. Where's all this busted money going? $1 trillion a year for this stuff, and no one knows where it goes. They insist that, quote, the airspace is currently historically murky. It's a combination of manned aircraft, drones, cruise missiles. American pilots have been flying continuous sorties along an array of 19 different types of aircraft. Fuel tankers, reconnaissance, bombers, all moving at different speeds and altitudes. That's what they're saying caused all of these shootdowns. In other words, normal combat situation. I mean, if this is true, I don't know what's worse. Either they're completely incompetent, you can't trust the American military, everything I've been saying is true, or the Iranians are just out shooting them. Both can be true at the same time. But that these Air Force idiots will go this far to avoid saying that the Iranians are winning, destroying their own reputation in the process, they don't care. Here's another one. Retired, Lieutenant General in this case, Dan Carbler. He was an Army guy, but he did the Space and Missile Defense Command. Get ready. He said that today's airspace is just more complex than during the Iraq wars of the 90s and 2000. Fratricide incidents typically result from multiple failures in communications or equipment. Investigators are now scrutinizing whether the F-15's identification, friend or foe, transponders were functioning, whether the Kuwaitis were briefed on the American flight path, and whether electronic jamming interfered with voice communications or something like that. Anything, anything. And they're trying to say that these malfunctions, well, it was possible it occurred on one of these jets, but all three simultaneously? Understand what they're saying. They're saying we're totally incompetent on the battlefield. Totally. It's confusing for us up there. The older F-15Es, the price tag is pretty low. It's like $30 million in the late 90s. The newer, $100 million. But that's just the receipt. I mean, the maintenance, spare parts, fuel, crews. It's extremely expensive. One flight in one of these things, what is it, $1,000 an hour? And for every hour, no, it's more than that, actually. And for every hour of flight, there's about 20 hours of maintenance. The U.S. maintenance backlog is like 7 years. And you know what? The older F-15Es, they stopped production in 2001. So they can't be replaced. Trump is now in full Zelensky mode. He's going from claim to claim. He said he was going to defeat Iran in 24 hours. Now it's weeks. Now he's going to fight them on the ground. And losses are heavy so far. Not to mention, both in Iran and, of course, within American occupation bases all over the place. American losses are heavy. Paul Craig Roberts is getting a little dramatic these days. I love the guy. He's trying to say that China and Russia are not assisting Iran. They're abandoning their ally. Well, I just explained to you, and I could get in more detail. what they're doing. I know there's certain frustrations, but he tends to get angry. And I know that. I get angry all the time. But of course, his truths are 99% of the time. For years, the media told us Ukraine was winning. Russia's defeat was imminent. Forgetting about all that, today, the Iranians are losing. The Americans are victorious. Several times in a year, they've said that. I'm not sure why Trump, although he's taken this back, speaking about sending in American ground forces, could you imagine? Kurdish forces that were bribed by the CIA are getting slaughtered. There are armament companies, executives, that have showed up to both the White House and the Pentagon to figure out how long the critical ammunition shortage, which I didn't think existed officially, but now they're admitting it, can be overcome. It's gone so far that the U.S. has gone to Japan and South Korea, say, please give us our missiles back, and we'll give your money back. Why is the U.S. suing for peace? Who's really losing here? This is the most blatant, ridiculous case. No one could deny it anymore. I think the relations between Jews and Gentiles have changed radically. Netanyahu is publicly seen as responsible. War for Israel. Worse, the military has been sent in without any preparations, without really any kind of backup systems. Let me quote him here. It appears that Trump was convinced that the Iranian government was so weak that if a few bombs and missiles were dropped on it, the government would collapse and Trump and Netanyahu would appoint a puppet government. Never occurred to him, despite warning from his own military, that the situation facing him would be like if Iran lasted longer than limited supply of U.S. and Israeli missiles. That's a question that could be overlooked. That's overlooked totally discredits President Trump. Well, that and many other things, of course. The fact that these bases have been allowed to simply function sitting ducks, no protections. They can't protect their bases and these sheikdoms. Who cares about the midterm elections? What difference does that make? American boys are being killed in huge numbers. Who gives a shit about elections? Sorry, I don't usually use profanity, but this is just demonic. And you know what? The Iranians are holding back their hypersonics and many other weapon systems besides. And what they're waiting for is a day coming very soon when their air defense missiles are gone. Very soon, actually. Now, the famous Straits of Hormuz, they're only closed to ships allied with the West. It's funny how gasoline prices have already risen almost $1 a gallon, which makes some economic sense. Let me explain here. This is very important. There is no oil market. Prices are set by the major firms. There is no disruption in supply. Iran, through the straits, produces maybe, 5% of the world's total. But even if somehow it did affect the U.S., by the way, gets zero oil from this area, it would take a long time to register at the pump. It takes a while for a shortage to actually translate into the whole process of refining, etc. It wouldn't be immediate, proving that it's all a lie. And American economists are out there repeating this nonsense. And Donald Trump says that this decrepit, absolutely disastrous U.S. Navy is going to escort these tankers in and out of the Persian Gulf. And the Iranians have said that we are waiting for you. I don't know if losing an aircraft carrier, which is pretty easy these days. And Paul Craig Roberts, again, he gets very emotional too quickly. He says, well, if an aircraft carrier goes down, which is pretty easy to do with the new weapons, the regime would reply with nuclear weapons. And people forget Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Please, it's not going to happen. Oil flows are not going to stop, at least for the long term, even the medium term. The petrodollars will cease to underwrite the data centers. Major stock market contraction, which, you know, doesn't bother me. Anything for Israel, though. We all know that nothing that's happening now benefits any American. None. Trump will have to save face somehow. What's he going to do? He can't send troops in. And I'm sick and tired of this nuclear war nonsense. Pakistan is a deterrent. And if it so wishes, we'll send those weapons to Iran if they take that fatwa back, and who knows. But as of today, the Air Force has lost at least 6 aircraft. Now, that's by official admission. That means the number is at least 20. Remember, the Pentagon said we're going to establish air superiority in 24 hours. The idiots believed it. Because they know nothing about Iran. The ignoramuses are sending Americans to their deaths because they don't know anything. They don't know the first thing about the Iranian economy, the Iranian military. They think it's just a bunch of goat herders out there. That's what they think. They really think that Trump thinks that. The Iranian military is, they're just pouring their medium ranges, their missiles, and American occupation forces all over the Middle East. The Air Force is so bad, their performance is so awful, it's humiliating. So the media just makes stuff up. It doesn't matter anymore. How long could they keep this charade up? Who wants to join the military now? Well, the guy from the war, I used to make fun of the guy from the war zone. I forget his name. Tyler Rogaway. You know, he says a lot of dumb things. And he seems to be out of his depth. Again, I'm saying this for the second time. He seems to suggest that the U.S. military, of course, obviously, has failed to achieve air dominance. That's never going to happen. But he said that claim sanitize the threat of ground-based air defenses to a degree that their forces are relatively free reign is not true. In other words, he's, you know, weirdly saying that the claims of the American military before the fighting simply is false. Well, we know that already. American officials are struggling psychologically, financially, and militarily to deal with a defeat, and they're trying to spread the war out. They want a global war, or at least a regional war. Well, they want to go to Azerbaijan and Turkey. Well, they're going to fight for... They're both pro-Iran. They have long-standing ties with the Iranians. And Russians, by the way. They have long-standing pro-Iranian ties. So they're going to start the false flags, which, I don't know. The Russians have warned them. False flags. Russian intelligence knows what's happening. But everyone believes it at this point. It's a complete idiot. But it only reinforces the point that the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force, has failed in every way. I mean, Rogaway, I think, is just this befuddled millennial, and he says that moving as fast as possible from standoff attacks to stand-in direct attacks isn't just trying to conserve expensive long-range munitions. In fact, this is far from the primary concern, and that doing so is essential to ramping up the frequency and amplitude of the air campaign, that is, the American air campaign. Okay. I don't think he knows that what he said is that the U.S. has run out of their elite, very expensive standoff munitions. So they're using poorer ammunition. You know, the Iranians are, at this point, superior in their air defense system. Again, this is all, they're fighting for their homes here. Iranian air defenses are by far the most advanced in the Middle East. They have Russian advisors who are very, you know, battle-hardened men, giving the Iranian military another huge advantage. Rogaway says that moving to direct strikes allows for a significant increase in total volume of targets, as well as the offering a broader array of effects to be brought to bear on those targets. And he says that the bunker buster munitions are typically not available in a standoff capability. Now he claims that the transition to direct attacks has now begun. He gives no evidence here. No one has seen the USAF establish anything close to air dominance, which you would need to launch mass terror bombings against the capital city. The opposite is true. The Pentagon is extremely upset by its awful performance against Iranian targets. I find that hard to believe because I think they know the limitations of their men and their materiel. They've wasted at least $5 billion of their ridiculously high-priced precision-guided munitions on fake targets. The Iranians love doing that. Dozens of videos of these very expensive missiles hitting, you know, pictures of a helicopter painted on the side of a hill or the runways of air bases. Let me go to Bosnich again. He says, these humiliating failures have now caused so much embarrassment to the military, they're now taking it out on civilians, including by targeting residential areas and leveling entire apartment blocks in Tehran and other major cities across Iran. Preliminary data show that well over 1,000 people, that is to say civilians, were killed by the American Air Force, but the actual number is much higher, as the authorities are struggling to remove debris and locate all casualties. This is proving difficult, as the aggressor is targeting even rescue personnel now. This is reminiscent of the U.S.-NATO aggression against Serbia, when Western jets attacked firefighters and paramedics who were trying to save civilians injured in their previous attacks. That's what the U.S. military is in the process of doing. I would like to expose, if anyone knows how to expose the pilots involved in this, deliberately killing civilians, because these pilots then go home saying that they're combat vets and get medals put on them, considered heroes. I don't know how to stop this, but maybe someone else does. I don't have the strength for this anymore. And I the only time I laughed was when, there's nothing really to laugh about here. Washington threatened a land invasion, as I said. But Trump was told in no uncertain terms that the U.S. doesn't have the capacity for it. They can't create the forces for a large-scale ground operation. So the idea was dropped. So what did Trump say? He lied. He said, well, you know, I had a sudden change of heart about all this. It's not worth it. It's a waste of time. You know why? Because Iran has lost everything they can lose. None of that is even close to being true. It's a form of projection. But frankly, people who around the world have never been political before, I'm reading reports about this in several languages. They're getting political now. They're seeing Russia and Iran as the main source of counter-revolution against this imperial state. Iran and Russia are the new leaders of this new world. Many of you have heard about the Kurds. Of course, no one likes them. No one cares whether they're there or not. But at least the general staff in Iran warned whoever they go to in Kurdistan, northern Iraq, do not cooperate with the United States or the Israelis. I mean, the Kurds will, you know, do whatever they're paid to do. It was Fazl Sagarchi. He said, you know, very clearly, if you cooperate with the U.S. and the Zionist regime, we will crush you. You will be trampled under our feet and will never enjoy security again. Well, they don't enjoy security now. But when a first world military says that to you, and you're nothing but a bunch of ignorant tribesmen, essentially, I think you should listen. The Kurds essentially are cannon fodder for the Israelis, for the West. I remember back, it was 1991, I heard for the first time what a Kurd was, and we should feel sorry for them. Because they're allegedly gassed. Actually, they were gassed by the Iraqis, not deliberately, but they were caught in the crossfire. This is why the Iranians said, we have been the victim of gas attacks. It was one of the nastier aspects of the Iran-Iraq war. Really, it's just an unnecessary, absurd, it was like their version of World War I. And nothing was done. Men were killed by the hundreds of thousands for nothing. And this is what the Iranian military also said. If the leaders of Iraq's northern region, that is to say Kurdistan, open a corridor for these terror groups, we will strike all the infrastructure and facilities of this region. We will show no mercy to our enemies. And they've already proven that they can do it with ease. Then he also said, you know, no one's going to protect you. The U.S. certainly can't. No one really likes you. No one really likes the Kurds. People use them, but that's about it. The U.S. is facing shortages of everything, as I predicted. As I was alone in saying this a few years ago. Now, it's now mainstream. What a shock. The spokesman for the general staff said, referring to the Americans, they've tested all their weapons. They've even brought out weapons that have been stored away for some other war, yet they're still facing shortages. They're literally scraping the bottom of the barrel for things. They're looking around, going to their so-called allies, trying to take weapons back. The Army stated the following, said if the U.S. would enter another conflict with other countries tomorrow, they would face serious difficulties. That's because they brought all their capacities to the battlefield so that they would not be disgraced. Yet fortunately, they've already been disgraced and will suffer even more disgrace. Now, I wonder who he's talking to here. He's talking to the Chinese. He's talking to, they have allies everywhere. If another country were to court trouble tomorrow and the U.S. had to intervene there, I'm not sure. But the U.S. has no capacity to respond. But as of right now, the counterattacks have targeted at least a dozen American military installations across the region. And these are from the highest quality precision weapons. The U.S. cannot defend themselves against it. The U.S. has spent billions over years for their dominance over the West Asia region. These advanced technologies. And now it's gone. Most of it. He cited a U.S. base in Bahrain, basically destroyed now, but he said details will come later. I don't know what he's talking about. But the U.S. military warned that American armed forces have already expended thousands of these very expensive missiles and hundreds of interceptors, according to the Washington Post, which is meaningless, but if they admit it, they're saying something. That means that as their ammunition shrinks worse and worse, they're going to have to prioritize targets. Well, I thought they're doing that now. It means that they're simply going to have to, you know, hit one city at a time, like what the U.S. did to the Arvin at the end of the Vietnam War. All this crap is coming home. What they put others through, they're now dealing with. CNN, who apparently was present in Israel, said they have no interceptors left. Totally exhausted in Israel. Ukraine, Taiwan, a few other places have taken all of this. They can't do it, get them back from Ukraine. They've been destroyed immediately. Donald Trump actually said we have unlimited supplies on Truth Social. Can you imagine? I can't deal with this. Unlimited supply. He just says whatever occurs to him. He wants to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost munitions output. That's essentially total war footing. We've been talking about the Patriots declining. And it's not just a matter of the physical plant. It's people who are capable of using it properly. Well, the Americans are anything but battle-hardened. Russians are, again, the premier military in the world. None of this stuff frightens them. I think you're talking about, if you're really optimistic, maybe 1,000 missiles left. Very expensive. But they need them for other things. And the Patriots are failures anyway. And the Iranian response is so intense, this doesn't matter. The U.S. is constantly evacuating dead and wounded from these targeted outposts. American facilities in the Persian Gulf region, huge number of casualties. These bases are unusable at this point. They're ruins. 50 years of investments have been destroyed. This is the legacy of Donald Trump. Washington has limited options. The Iranian army says, for this reason, the U.S. has absolutely no option. Defeat and surrender in the war started. What's happened to the U.S. over the last few days is unprecedented in the history of America. Well, that's absolutely sure. dead American soldiers. It's nothing to cheer about. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They should not have showed up that day. They shouldn't even have joined. Who are they fighting for? What are they dying for? Not their homes. Not their well-being. And the Iranians have gone to these governments. Again, the sheiks are citizens. Everyone else is serfs. And I'm not kidding here. They're usually Palestinians, Shiites. They're from all over the Islamic world. They have zero rights. They have very low pay. They live in slums. I mentioned this before, but I think the UAE, 10% of the population are citizens. Saudi Arabia, it might be a little higher. They don't do much work, or the work they do is very high level. But basic needs, sewer work, whatever the stuff no one else wants to do, is done by these non-citizens. The Iranian army said, we're swimming in supplies. Our morale is high. He said, our attacks against the U.S. and the Zionist regime will intensify daily. We'll unveil even more surprises for the U.S. and the Zionist regime. We will employ even more advanced weapons. And we'll bring good news to our nation. And he said that no amount of censorship has been capable of hiding the true extent of the human and material losses that have been suffered by their enemies. But even the most militant Iranian has nothing there's nothing to cheer about by dead American boys. There's nothing to cheer about there. But the people who put them in that position, sent them into warfare, they're the ones who need to bear a price one day, either here or when they pass away. Donald Trump is an old man. But the Iranian military said the Iranians have not blocked, as I've said before, maritime traffic through the straits, except for those connected to Washington or Tel Aviv. That's perfectly reasonable. Now, true promise four. Again, they are Israel's in flames. And the American aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln is in serious trouble. They're told that they have to stay away. They have carrier buster missiles, so does the Chinese. They haven't fired any yet. They're very expensive. So the Iranians are saying, we are waiting for the Navy. Donald Trump said they're going to escort oil tankers. The swaggering, Lieutenant Colonel Ibrahim Zafagadi, he warned, I think it was today, it was this morning, Americans should recall the 1987 fire aboard the supertanker Bridgeton. This also relates to your ships, he says. You may intend to deploy them as floating assets. It's not inconceivable that they would sink vertically to the bottom of the Persian Gulf. Well, most of the time, U.S. Navy vessels sink to the bottom of the ocean without any attack. They're dealing with a tiny, by comparison, a small American Navy, poorly trained, exhausted, and their assets are physically falling apart. They're being overused. They're going one place to another. And they're extremely vulnerable. Killing the Ayatollah was a huge error. It really manifested a tremendous anger, and not just in Iran. He said, but we're hitting our legitimate targets. The Americans are killing civilians. This is nothing new. They honestly believe that if the Americans kill civilians, the rest of them will rise up against Tehran. That doesn't make any sense. I just think that everyone's as stupid as they are. I can't imagine the number of Americans who are now AWOL because they're not going to stay in one of these bases, Amman, whatever, as sitting ducks, assuming that they're even there. The very expensive radars, the UAE, Jordan, have been destroyed all over the Arabian Peninsula. I've seen some of these satellite images. There's like a crater there. I'm assuming that it used to be where the old FADs were. The Muwafaq Salty Air Base in Jordan. It's been destroyed. That was captured on Monday. That's 500 miles from Iran. That's one hell of a hit. The UAE, of course, same thing. Near Ruwais and Sadr, two more destroyed bases. At least the radars are. Visible damage is there. They're connected to the thiod battery, THAAD. We've talked about that before. It's a critical component of any of these interceptor systems. Now they're destroyed. So I don't care. They could have missiles coming out of the ground. It's not going to be any good. They just went after the radars. So the interceptor batteries, the ability to respond to anything is now degraded. And they were bad in the first place. So the Iranians said, with the successful destruction of more than 7 advanced radars, the eyes of the U.S. and the usurping Zionist regime in the region have been blinded. That was on Wednesday. That's the 17th stage of the operation. ₺1,200 civilians were killed. This is how Iran responds. Russia and China have an absolutely essential here. Contrary to what Paul Craig Roberts is saying, Russia has concentrated on the high-tech sector, everything from what orbital surveillance to missile guidance, the best in the world. They've had long defense agreements. I've talked about them years ago. People are acting like this is all new. Their hardware is superior, and they're battle-hardened. The Russians have given the Kayam spy satellite, which first launched in 2022, from the Canopus 5 satellite. That was a Moscow-Tehran project, actually. The imagery is incredible. It's like a yard high, and it can monitor specific U.S. and Israeli bases. The SU Flanker E, 2026. There's a 48-unit order, which is like $10 billion. These jets are equipped with the Kibini M warfare pods and the Urbis E radars. They are designed to detect low observable stealth aircraft like the F-35. The S-400s, of course, we've talked about that. They have now a layered defense against Western airstrikes, which are just non-existent right now. The Resonance NE radar, which is over the horizon. Stealth targets can be tracked, even ballistic missiles at long ranges. China's support is more silent, but more critical. GPS has been taken out of any Iranian system. They use the BeiDou system, BeiDou. Now, unlike the GPS, the Chinese system includes a short message service. So the command nodes can communicate even if the networks are down. The Edge. I have the feeling that's not the guitars from U2. It could be. But they're saying that the Edge is the high-precision military signals. Tremendous accuracy. Resistance to Western jamming. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not the guitar player. China utilizes its 500 satellites. Intelligence sharing real-time. Terrain mapping, all the rest of it. They can track anything, land or sea. The supersonic missiles are on their way. The CM-302s. There's so many of these things coming. It's hard to keep up with them. These are the carrier killers, the export version of the YJ-12. They're supersonic, and their range is roughly 350 miles. Carriers are going to go at their own risk. And then finally, the UHF band radars. Low-frequency waves that negate the radar-absorbing coatings used by the stealth bombers. That's just a smattering of what Russia and China have sold to the Iranians. And these have been used in the first week. The U.S., the Israelis are confused. They don't know whether to believe their own nonsense or not. There's severe psychological strain. The Iranians are showing that they are superior militarily to the West because they're using these high-tempo operations, missiles, unmanned aerial systems, 600 missile operations, ballistic cruise, solid liquid fuel, 2,600 drone operations. They've been carried out in a short period of time, and yet none of them have come out and said, this confuses us, therefore we're shooting each other, like the Americans are saying. Can you imagine that? It's bad enough the U.S. is being destroyed here. These guys are coming out and saying these stupid things for the sake of not allowing the Iranian victory. I know it's more than the sensitive locations destroyed, maybe 200, but that was a few days ago. Every hour, there's a new one. As I've been sitting here today working on this stuff, all these places are in flames. The West is frightened to use too many of their interceptors, and now the radars are destroyed. What are they going to do? They're going to have to go to the air. You know, the huge flying radar, high altitude. But that's certainly not optimal. The volume of fire from the Iranians is extraordinary. The U.S. can't do it. If the Ukraine war didn't happen, the Hamas invasion, which caused all this, God Almighty, thank you for this, the U.S. would be in much better position. But Donald Trump seems to think this is 1990 or 1945. The Fifth Fleet is under serious attack. The air bases, Udeid, the Al Jaffa air base, Shigis air base, all of these massive. I mean, you know, it's like the Russian fire pocket idea. Many of these strategies come from the Russian experience in Ukraine. The Shigis air bases in Bahrain, Udeid and Jaffa are in Qatar. And these governments now are really wondering if this was a good idea to have the Americans here. It was stupid to begin with. I mean, heavy operational capital is being destroyed. No one else, there's no position to rebuild this stuff. Not only are they expensive, but they're labor intensive. On sea, 17 vessels. Either Israeli or American, have been hit. I assume either severely damaged or destroyed. At the low estimate, they always are. The Iranians are very sensitive about saying something and have it not be true and be embarrassed. Something that the U.S. does every hour. So the U.S. is hitting civilians. The Iranians are only attacking relevant military structures. For them to stoop to the Israeli or the American level is out of the question. It's shocking that even if half of the Iranian claims are true, the American forces in Western Asia are at a critical level. Remember last year I talked about Israel being in flames. There was some rebuilding, and now all that's been destroyed again. Who the hell wants to rebuild again? What's that insurance going to be like? No insurance company's going to cover it. They can't even go to UAE anymore. The psychological pressure on one. I'm gonna end this way. Now this is something to celebrate. Settlers on the West Bank are being targeted by the Iranians. This is wonderful. They do deserve to suffer. They are living actual living hell. What they've put the Arabs through for so long, they are now suffering. They're constantly fleeing into shelters. Blaring sirens, and they're going to continue to intensify the missile attacks against them. The point is to push the enemy's defensive structures to the brink of total collapse. Well, they're close to mission accomplished at this point, even since you've been listening to me. As I've been saying this, I should say, it's getting worse. So many strategic failures by the West. They thought this would end in 3 days. They believe their own crap. They say that for every war, and it's never true. Casualties are very high. Don't let anyone lie to you. As of a couple of days ago, it was 220 American soldiers. Now, the real number, I'm sure, is over 1,000. Now it's higher than that. The attacks on the bases locally are destroying what was left of American morale. The money isn't even there to rebuild or to help. God, as I was writing this paper, March 7th, 2026, Iran destroyed a huge part of the U.S. and Israeli presence in the region. We're talking about the radars. The IRGC, and the Hezbollah has attacked. This long list of attacks just in the last couple of days. Now the Israelis are fighting on, what, three fronts? I've talked about this many times in the past. They can't do it. They were suffering to begin with. They were suffering against Hamas. Now you have a very angry Hezbollah. They're using very advanced weapons, which no one thought they had. They're attacking base after base, Dado, Tivan, a whole bunch of others. The Fatima Gate, the town of Kfir Aqila, which is sort of a base. Now, of course, you know, the aggressors, they had invaded Lebanon, killed civilians. The Hezbollah targeted the Ian Tim base. I mean, nowhere safe. How many recruits have they had just in the last few days? This is absolutely incredible. And they're just getting started in all of this because of the gamble of the Islamic resistance in Gaza, who couldn't take their prisoner life anymore. And the gamble paid off. U.S. Air Warfare Center is destroyed. Satellite communications, early warning radar, fire control radar. All of this, it was all left open. This is what happens when you think you're the end of history. This is what happens when you think that your enemy is a goat herder and you are the civilizing. This is what happens when you believe nonsense and you actually go out and send American men to die for this, knowing full well they probably aren't going to make it. The Iranian Navy has shown itself very well. It's not that huge, but they don't have really much to defend. And keep in mind Turkey, and keep in mind Pakistan. Both of them are seething with anger. Even if they weren't, their peoples are. So they better assist or else they're going to, you know, easily be overthrown. This is the issue. Yeah, finally, the clash report, satellite imagery. You know, it's hard to interpret. But it seems to indicate the Iranian strikes hit all the radar systems of the Middle East. About $1 billion each. In Qatar, the ANTPY-2. The same thing in Saudi Arabia. Another one in Jordan. I think two of them in the UAE. There's nothing left. And the Iranians are just getting, they haven't even used their best weaponry yet. That's what makes this time different. The U.S. is being slaughtered. And it's not, and the Iranians are shocked about how they haven't done anything about, you know, these exposed bases, but you're slaughtering American civilians on purpose. I'm sorry, Iranian civilians on purpose. This is what you get. The end of the empire is close, and I can't believe I'm saying this. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for your prayers. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.